Take your Bibles, if you will, two places, Psalm chapter 8, and then also 1 Peter chapter 4. If you would, let's stand together. We'll read from the book of Psalms and the 8th Psalm. If you're unable to stand, don't feel you have to. But Psalm chapter 8, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Do you agree with that statement?
Yes.
His name is above every name. And yet, he says his word is more important than his name. So that when people ignore his word, it bothers him. It continues, who has set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained. Don and I were in Ohio for a number of days in Amish country. You know what I found? They have more stars than we do. You say, well, how's that possible? They don't have all the lights around like we have here. It says in verse 4, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep, and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that we can gather here today. We can thank you for your love and your mercy and your salvation. Lord, give us the courage and the strength to remain strong in this day. And we pray this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Take your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter 4. As you know, we've been in Peter for a while now. 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Title of our lesson is Christ Hath Suffered for Us. Christ hath suffered for us. Verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 4. For as much then as Christ hath what? Suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? Christ hath suffered for us. I am always greatly bothered by those who are taught that if you are a good enough person, God has to let you into heaven. Nowhere in Scripture are we ever told that if we're good enough, God's going to let you in. Nowhere. We are saved by the blood of Christ and not by our good works. I believe it's very important that we realize Christ died for our sins. For your sin, for my sin, he had to die. If you would turn back to chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 21. Chapter 2 and verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We are dead in sins until Christ saves our soul. How can a dead man do anything that will please an awesome, eternal, creative God? He saved our souls. Matthew 17, 22 and 23 tells us, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed in the hands of men, and they shall kill him. Did Christ have to die at their hands? He did not have to. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he chose rather to die because of the sins of those who had already lived and for the souls of those who came after. Take your Bibles and quickly turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Familiar words. I've read them many times to you. You've read them yourself. Isaiah chapter 53, and we'll begin reading at verse 3. Christ hath suffered for us. It was prophesied some 750 years before Christ came that he would die. Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 3. He is despised and rejected a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Notice that phrase, smitten of God. God needed a sacrifice, and Christ was the sacrifice. God striking God. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He died for our sins. Romans 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That should make you say amen. That should make you be glad to be a born-again believer, that he has died for us, that we are saved from the wrath. Well, what wrath is that? Hellfire, created for the devil and his angels, but then for all those who do will not accept Christ as our Savior. Christ suffered. Does that mean that we might have to suffer? Do you realize that there are Christians around the world even now who are suffering for the cause of Christ? Let me ask you this, would you be willing to suffer? You say, oh, yes, I'd be willing to suffer. Don't say that. I don't want to be put to the test, do you? But it could happen. Things change, folks. Things change. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Back again to 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter 4, verse 2. How many of you believe there's a battle going on in today's world, a spiritual battle? I mean, you believe there's a spiritual battle. Folks, there is a spiritual battle. And it's intensified in the last decade or so. Common sense has gone right out the door. We seem to have this desire to be as stupid as we can. And God allows it. He's not happy about it. But do you think we're the first people in history to be stupid? No, we're not. The Bible tells us the fool hath said there is no God. So it was said long time ago, even as it is said today. But read verse 2 with me. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. To the born-again believer, we are not to live like the world. We live in the world. We live side by side with those who are lost, but we are to be different because there is a battle that is going on at this time. Galatians chapter 5, if you would please. Galatians chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 17. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. For the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Do you agree with that statement? You should. There is a battle right now, even in this room, between good and evil. Notice. And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Well, we know how we should live, but there is a battle that continues. Verse 18. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now notice verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, with which are these. I find it interesting as they list these sins, it begins with sexual sins. There in 1 Peter chapter 4, it lists some sins. It leads with sexual sins. Have you ever wondered why when Adam and Eve in the garden ate the fruit? Now, we're not told what it is. Some people believe it was apples. It could have been a banana. Aren't they the best? Yes. We were there in Ohio at the farm in Walnut Creek, and they have some horses, and I went over and got an apple and gave it to Donna. Not for Donna to eat the apple, but that she could feed it to the horses. And that one horse took the whole apple right out of your hand. It wasn't very nice. I mean, you were trying to get it to take little bites, right? Right. But she likes feeding the animals. How many of you saw her, the Facebook, where she was feeding the giraffe? Did you see that? Yeah. Anyways. But have you ever wondered when they took the fruit and ate of it, what made them think they had to put on clothes? Why? You know, have you ever thought about it? They took the fruit, they hid themselves, and they covered themselves with fig leaves. Why did they do that? Can I give you my opinion? Now, this is my opinion, okay? Is it all right if I have a opinion? You may not agree with my opinion. My opinion is that Eve seduced Adam. You say, well, why? Because I think when she changed, he said, wow. And I believe it was a sexual sin. And I believe that's why they covered themselves. That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it. If you think there's another reason, you can tell me later. That's all right. Notice, where was I? Verse 19. Yes. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. This is the flesh. Are we to be different? I caught you off guard there. It's probably because the pulpit is crooked. I really feel odd. Anyways, should there be a difference between us and the lost? There should be a difference. Grudges. I wrote this down. Are you holding a grudge that is bigger than your God? Or is your grudge your God? Sins, they get into our lives. They take root. They take over. Jealousy, bitterness, anger, resentment. Battling against the Spirit. But to do the will of God. Let's continue reading here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We are to be different. Quickly again to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that we run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. When we walked, this is the way we walked in the past. Quickly to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. You say, Pastor Paul, why do you keep saying quickly? Because I have a message to preach and I want to get all done today. I don't want you to keep you here to 20 after 12 because I don't want to hear your stomachs growling. When ye walked, we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 shortly. We were coming towards Massachusetts. And Donna was looking online to see where some waterfalls could be found in Massachusetts. That's why I don't go to Florida, folks. There aren't any waterfalls. But you go to Massachusetts, and they have some really nice ones. And Donna found this one called Bish Bash. Right? Bish Bash? Or was it Bash Bish? It was one or the other. Bish Bash. And so it said that up to 3,000 people a day go to this waterfall in the summer. Now, I'm thinking to myself, if there are 3,000 people a day going to this waterfall, it must be pretty nice, right? Yes? Hello? Don't you want to go? So anyways, we're in Massachusetts, and we find the parking lot for Bish Bash Waterfall. And the book said that it was a Moderate or simple? Moderate hiking trail. I think it said easy. And so we're going down this trail. Did you hear the word going down? Going down this trail. It wasn't paved. Now, how old am I? 64. I'm not 24. Okay? It was rough. And Donna kept saying, where's the easy part? Because if you're going down, you have to what? You have to come back up. And if it's hard going down, it's even harder coming back up. And so we get down to where the people are. And we're thinking, where are all these people coming from? You could come out of New York on the simple trail. She found the information about a waterfall. It didn't tell her there were two ways. That there is the hard way in Massachusetts, and there's the easy way from New York. It's right there on the border. Do you know what my wife told me? She said, you go get the car. I'm going back to New York. I didn't marry a dumb woman. I married a pretty smart woman. You know who had to go get the car? It wasn't her. You know, there are easy trails in life and there are hard trails in life. Would you agree to that? Which trail are we supposed to be on? Well, we don't know, but we can tell you this, that the Lord is with us. Yes? When we go through the hard times of life, Christ is with us, our Lord is with us, our Savior is there, and He's going to give us the strength to do that which is right. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you hath he quickened. What's that mean? He hath you have quickened. It makes what? Made alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now what? Worketh in the children of disobedience. As we continue, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You like verse 4? But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are to be different. If we were to turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 5, it tells us who shall give account to him. We will give account. Do you realize it doesn't matter who is right, but what is right? And Christ is right. The Word of God is right. It is truth. But we will someday come before a judge. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. we will give an account. Romans chapter 11, if you would please turn to Romans chapter, did I say 11? 13 and verse 11. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. According to the clock back there, I have about a minute, but I'm going to go on Massachusetts time. Is that all right? Some of you will catch that later on. Verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Christ hath suffered for us, that we might be saved, and that we may walk in a way that brings honor and glory to him. Shall we stand together? 375, just as I am. And that's how he desires us to come, just as we are. And then he will do the cleaning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you as we have this time of invitation that you love us and that you care for us. And that, Lord, you have a willingness to wait patiently for us, that we may come to know thee as Savior, and that we can be fruitful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.